It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Every year, Wisconsin shares revenue with 190 cities, 410 villages, and 72 counties, among other local units of government. This year, that amount adds up to more than $1.4 billion. The payments went out to communities in recent days. The money is used to help pay the bills. Local officials have long complained that the revenue isn't enough, and that forces them to raise property taxes. There's also some evidence that the money isn't distributed evenly. To help us understand how the state distributes this money and how local governments use it, we turn to Jerry DeShane. He's the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. He talked to Kate Archer-Kent last week.
So $1.4 billion, that sounds like a lot of money, but it gets divided among almost 2,000 local governments. Is the amount that the state decided to give out this year more generous than in previous years? What do you see?
Yeah, the state lived up to its commitment to protect the penny. That's what we call it. In the last budget, Kate, you recall that the legislature and the governor agreed that they would set aside a penny of the sales tax for local government services. And as the economy grows, that penny gets more valuable, and they have stuck to their word. I'm very pleased that the governor and the legislature increased the amount of what we call shared revenue with local governments. They also increased transportation aids and a variety of other things. So yeah, the partnership is alive and well.
So there was that historic shared revenue legislation back in the summer of 2023 that increased that main source of state aid to municipalities, as you mentioned, shared revenue. Has that cycle then kicked in sufficiently? Where are we at?
That's a good way to ask the question. So first of all, yeah, the cycle has kicked in. And what had been happening for two, depending on how you want to look at things, almost three decades before that, was the amount of shared revenue to local governments hadn't gone up. You know, there were more sales taxes being collected, more income taxes, but the piece that went to local governments was either frozen or declining for two or three decades. That big bill changed all of that. As I mentioned, the legislature and the governor said, we're going to set aside a penny of the sales tax that goes to local government. Well, this year was the first big test. Were we going to be able to sustain that commitment? And I'm happy to say that, yes, the legislature and the governor did. They absolutely stood up to their word and kept the full penny for local government operations. Specifically, shared revenue went up 2.3% this year. It'll go up 3.4% next year as the penny grows. As the economy grows, the partnership with local government grows. So I'm very happy at this stage of the game. We've reversed about 20 years of history.
Can you explain some of the different types of aid that fall under this heading of shared revenue?
Well, there are two that fall under the shared revenue banner. The first is shared revenue. It's also county and municipal aid is another term that we sometimes apply to that. Then there is what's called county and municipal supplemental aid. Without getting too deep into the weeds that would just drive your listeners crazy, Kate, what they did was they set up a different formula because the old formula tended to favor older central cities. The new formula is kinder to small communities. So they just blended the two. Rather than throw out the old formula and come up with a new one, they have two separate pots, two different formulas. One favors one sort of city, the other favors another sort of city, village, and town. It's not a perfect system, but it works. There are a lot of other things that fall under the penny that let me know when your listeners have fallen asleep here, Kate. But
no, we like the weeds.
Payment for municipal services, payment for personal property taxes, which is something that went away a few years ago. There are a bunch of smaller items within there, but about two-thirds of the penny is shared revenue or supplemental aid.
Are municipalities restricted then in how they can use the money that the state gives them?
The supplemental, yes. The main portion, which is shared revenue, no. The supplemental, they have to prioritize the critical services, the first responder services, but also public works and roads. Again, in reality, those are the biggest parts of local budgets anyway. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing that I would be remiss if I didn't point out that even though shared revenue is huge, it's not a majority of local funding. Local funding still comes for the most part from local property taxes. It's hard to put an average on it, but roughly 85% of local budgets are funded by property taxes, not shared revenue.
Okay, so even though that this is a big injection of funding, it's still the property taxes that remain the lion's share for most local governments and their communities.
Yep, love it or hate it, Wisconsin is still that, we're that one state in the nation that relies almost exclusively on property taxes as a local revenue source. And we realize that that's frustrating for property taxpayers, and perhaps at some point in the future we'll revisit that. But that is the way it's set up right now.
Okay, Jerry, in these weeds that we're in, what is the what is
you
this?
Asked for it, Kate.
Yeah, no, here we go. We're in it. What is the state's expenditure restraint incentive program, and how much more aid can a community get from it?
I don't have the exact figures in front of me. It's a fraction. If shared revenue is, what's the number these days? About $1.4 billion. Expenditure restraint doesn't add up to even $100 million. Mm. That is, it's an incentive payment. It matters. And every city or village or town is a little bit different in what they qualify for. But, in many cases, it's one more firefighter or one more police officer. So it's important not to lose it. And for your listeners, what expenditure restraint basically says is as long as you keep your spending below the expending increase below the rate of inflation, you qualify for this. Well, given levy limits, which are about one third of inflation on average, for most communities, most of the time, that's not an issue. Every now and then they'll run into a big one-time road project or some other expense that puts them over the expenditure restraint limit for a year, but then they come back into the program.
We're talking about the tax revenues that Wisconsin shares with local governments. The State Revenue Department recently distributed over $1.4 billion in shared revenue and these property tax credits to local governments across the state. Jerry DeShane is with us, Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, to talk about shared revenue. Jerry, is shared revenue growing in pace with property taxes?
Well, actually, it's growing faster than property taxes. Property taxes in Wisconsin are limited by what are called levy limits. And, hold my hand, Kate, here we go into the weed patch again. But levy limits for municipalities are strictly tied to the amount of new construction that takes place in a city or village over the course of a year. I can't increase my spending if I'm the mayor of Privets, Wisconsin. I can't increase spending beyond the percentage increase caused by new construction. And if that doesn't make sense, I can explain it a little deeper. But that number in reality seldom comes to more than about one third of inflation. So property taxes have actually been losing ground to inflation, while shared revenue, since it's tied to the sales tax, which grows with the economy, has been doing a better job recently keeping up with inflation.
Can you then explain further, how does this shared revenue affect property taxes for homeowners?
It depends on the community. Uh-huh. For the city of Middleton, let's pull that as an example. Middleton, down by Madison and Dane County, shared revenue is only 1% of their budget. So shared revenue, it matters, but it's 1%. It's not going to make property taxpayers live, die, cheer, or groan. But then you go down to Beloit, shared revenue is 49%. It's almost half of their budget. And this has to do with the old formula that was in place. So what happens to shared revenue in Beloit, their budget either sinks or swims, depending on what happened to shared revenue. In all cases, the challenge for the future, Kate, is we have to do something about levy limits, or we have to think about diversifying local revenue sources so that local governments can get fully plugged into the economy that they helped to create.
There is the analysis from the Wisconsin Policy Forum and Wisconsin Watch, both finding that changes the legislature made to shared revenue benefited smaller communities much more than larger cities. And the analysis found that communities with fewer than 5,000 residents saw their aid jump by 200%. Cities got a more modest 25% bump. Does the formula then, and I know it's complex, does it tilt toward more rural places?
You know, Kate, I'm going to come out of this interview with a terrible case of poison ivy because you insist on tramping through the weeds. Okay. So I'm sorry. We beat that analogy to death now, haven't we?
I think we have, dutifully, yes.
Okay. But to your point, remember I talked about there's the shared revenue pot and there's the supplemental pot. Mm-hmm. The shared revenue pot is an older formula that's been frozen in place for 20 years. That formula favors older cities, specifically Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine, Beloit, Green Bay, and disfavors small communities, very small population communities. The supplemental, which is the second pot of shared revenue, that actually favors small communities. The formula is skewed more to favor small communities. I would caution, and I've had this conversation with the folks over at Policy Forum and others, I would caution playing games with percentages, because while it's true that some small communities may have seen a 200% increase in their shared revenue, that went from, you know, maybe $2,000 to $6,000, which might buy them a couple more truckloads of salt in the winter, but that's about it. So it's kind of hard to just look at it from a percentage perspective. But I do have to say to both small and large communities, because shared revenue isn't the majority of anyone's budget, local budgets don't live and die by shared revenue. It's very important. But that local property tax levy is still the primary driver. And that one, frankly, is pinching just about everybody.
You know, Wisconsin's spring election is in April. Do you anticipate communities bringing more referendums and asking residents for more money by way of property tax levy increases?
Yes. Based on the conversations that we have with local leaders, conversations that I know they're having with their legislators, with the governor, with others, the sub-inflationary levy limit in Wisconsin, that cap that's keeping property taxes at one-third the rate of inflation, is forcing more communities. They've been cutting budgets, they've been combining services, but more and more of them will have to go to referendum starting in the spring. Yeah, you're going to see more.
Are there particular funding formula changes that the League advocates for?
We don't advocate for specific funding formula change. The League is an advocate for diversifying local revenue sources. Wisconsin is an outlier in that local governments really only have the property tax. It's a one-size-fits-all scheme that, quite frankly, property owners don't like, businesses don't like, and local governments don't like. We think there is room to talk about mixing up the revenue sources. What that mix would be, we're wide open to a good conversation on that. And quite frankly, we think the shared revenue agreement forms the basis for those conversations to take place in the future.
Oh, that's interesting. You find that that 2023 change and that increase really creates the backdrop for further conversations about a future, you know, that shared revenue could have a, you know, changes in the future.
Oh, I absolutely do. First of all, every time you have an opportunity to reach an agreement, a bipartisan agreement, and both bipartisan and beyond partisan, since local governments are nonpartisan, that helps set the stage for further conversations. Everyone involved in that shared revenue discussion knew that that was not the end of the conversation. They knew that there would have to be this conversation about property taxes. So yes, I'm both optimistic, but I'm also confident that the parties involved are developing a level of trust with one another. The Innovation Fund is out there, and we can talk about that perhaps some other day, that encourages local governments to collaborate, consolidate, and do more with the resources they have. All of those pieces are moving together to a future conversation.
Now, to more broadly on the horizon, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that was signed by President Trump, it is going to make deep cuts to social services, you know, Medicaid, food assistance. Do you think will local governments feel a need to make up some of this funding?
Municipal governments don't generally provide a lot of social services. That's more of a county function in most places. However, having said that, if there are cuts in areas that affect homeless populations and local governments have a housing responsibility, yes, then they're going to have to step up. A lot of uncertainty about that, a lot of questions being asked. And the other thing is there's a lot of changes that seem to keep coming from Washington.
Such as tariffs, such as economic uncertainty. How does that affect the municipalities you work with? What are their gut feelings?
They are used to waiting for Washington and Madison to act and then seeing, okay, once you've acted, what do we have to deal with? So to a certain extent, they're used to uncertainty. It is challenging, particularly for our major cities, for cities that have a fairly large poor population, or for cities that won a federal grant and now are not sure if that federal grant's going to be funded or not. So there's uncertainty, but at the same time, as I said, local governments are both pragmatic. They're also pretty patient.
Jerry, appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much for joining us.
Kate, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Jerry DeShane is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. He talked to Kate Archer-Kent about shared revenue payments, the money Wisconsin sends back to local governments. The State Revenue Department recently distributed over $1.4 billion through this funding.